You're listening to WAER News at WAER.org and NPR One. I'm Katie Zolkowski. A temporary exhibit at Art Rage Gallery shows the past and the present realities of the land where the Interstate 81 viaduct now stands. Organizers hope the photos help illustrate why restorative justice is a necessary part of the I-81 project. Over 24 people gathered at Art Rage Gallery to watch the documentary Owned. It explores U.S. housing policy after World War II and how that policy led to segregation in cities like Syracuse.
You have highway construction, which is destroying Black communities. Highways, oftentimes in urban areas, are built dead in the middle of Black communities.
The documentary screening accompanied a week-long photography exhibit at Art Rage called A Shadow Cast, Interstate 81.
You know, there's this look at the past, which is this, you know, completely vibrant neighborhood, and there's a look at the present, which is really focused primarily around, like I said, the viaduct itself, mm-hmm. but then also sort of the human faces that live along it.
Images of what was once the 15th Ward from Syracuse photographer Marjorie Wilkins accompanied current photos of the community around I-81's viaduct from photographer Shane Lavalette. Lavalette has lived in Syracuse for about 7 years and took most of the photos that are part of this exhibit over the last 3 or 4. During that time, he not only photographed, but also talked with people about how the viaduct affected their lives.
The highway as a physical structure, as a barrier, as a mental, a psychological barrier, has affected the way in which that community sees and interacts with other parts of the city, and perhaps vice versa. Urban planning and architecture have the power to connect people when the right decisions are made, and they are a form of segregation when the wrong decisions are made.
The New York Civil Liberties Union partnered with Lavalette to put the exhibit together. It's traveled to New York City and to Albany, and now its third stop is in Syracuse. The NYCLU is paying close attention to those who live along the viaduct, the subject of Lavalette's photos, throughout the duration of the I-81 project. NYCLU counsel Lanessa Chaplin spent months scanning documents to create a timeline that shows the construction of the viaduct and the demolition of the 15th Ward.
I think it gives you a really unique perspective because we do talk about the 15th Ward as if it happened centuries ago, and it just happened in the 50s. And so there are a lot of people still living that experienced the very first demolition, that experienced being relocated out of their homes, that experienced homelessness.
The 15th Ward was a predominantly Black, tightly knit, working class neighborhood in what we now consider Syracuse's downtown area. It was a redline community. And because of that, it was easy to build a highway through it when the Federal Highway Act was passed in 1956. Chaplin says there needs to be a plan to rectify the homes and businesses that were lost just a few decades ago.
Are we going to be able to have access to this land that was taken from us just 50 years ago? There are business owners that are still alive that own businesses in that neighborhood, and they're asking those same questions of, will I have an opportunity to develop a business on that land again, or for my child to develop a business on that land again? A lot of what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise the voices of the residents that not only live there now, because they'll be directly impacted the most. They have to live there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but also uplifting the voices that have been forgotten about.
Now, as the viaduct has reached the end of its useful life, it's time for another infrastructure project in the neighborhood.
DOT has studied many different solutions associated with the deficiencies of the I-81 viaduct through Syracuse.
This is Mark Frechette with the State Department of Transportation.
And the selection of the community grid as the preferred alternative has been a result of a very thorough, rigorous, and comprehensive study.
The decision from the DOT to name the community grid its preferred alternative has garnered some criticism, especially from the towns and villages around Syracuse, while others, like Mayor Ben Walsh and Syracuse University, applaud it. But Chaplin says there's still a long way to go in this process, and whatever happens, the neighborhood along the viaduct will experience disruption. The NYCLU has been meeting with community residents on average twice a week to talk about their concerns.
Some of them have expressed not maybe afraid their health won't be able to handle living in a construction zone. Even if it's for 24 months, they don't want to live in a construction zone. So what are the options? They're asking for a relocation plan. They want to be able to move somewhere that is either comparable or better than where they live now, that it's not too far from where they work. I mean, they're not asking for things that are unheard of.
Chaplin says there also needs to be a plan for Dr. King School to mitigate pollution from construction and a comprehensive plan to increase economic development in that community. Right now, census data shows that 67% of people who live along the viaduct live below the poverty line.
That means one in every three children are hungry in that neighborhood. And so to suggest that children can go to school and perform well when we know that they're hungry, we know that they're facing issues of poverty, we know that they're located within 200 feet of a viaduct that's spewing out air pollution. I mean, all bets are against them at this point. And so we have to start thinking about rectifying that.
But Chaplin says it's a vibrant and connected community.
It's a community of color with great rich culture. I mean, I've canvassed along Garfield and State Street, and they've been in their homes for 50, 60 years. They've raised 16 grandchildren in that home, and you go there, it's vibrant, and you smell the food they're cooking in the kitchen. It's just a great, great neighborhood, and they are living along a viaduct that is poisoning them.
Both Chaplin and photographer Shane Lavalette stress the story of Interstate 81 is a story beyond logistics and infrastructure. It's a human story. And as many of the roads built with funds from the Federal Highway Act start to reach the end of their useful lives, cities across the country will soon face the questions that Syracuse is trying to answer.
And we could be a model for the nation. And how we do that is we have to do it right. We are one of the few cities across the nation who have highways in the middle of their cities facing the same exact problem that we're having with the funding to actually do something about it. And if we don't get this right, this could send the wrong message to the rest of the state, but the nation as a whole.
The state has yet to issue a final decision on what to do with Interstate 81. And until those plans are in place, the people living along the viaduct are waiting to find out how the project will affect their health, their children's education, and where they will eventually live. A shadow cast Interstate 81 will be at ArtRage until August 24th. Katie Zolkowski, WAER News.